We're continuing in the fourth chapter of Judges. Last time we had gotten through the 20th verse, and this portion of the chapter is telling about how Barak's army is routing the army of Jabin, which was headed by Sisera, his captain. The 900 chariots had been overthrown by Barak and his army. Deborah was there telling Barak what to do and encouraging him and giving him the word of the Lord. And all of the men had been killed except Sisera. Sisera had escaped, and he was the chief captain for Jabin. And he had fled into the area where Heber's family lived. Now, Heber was one of the descendants of the father-in-law of Moses. And they were at peace with Jabin and Sisera. And Sisera thought he could seek some protection here. So he came to the tent of Jael, who was Heber's wife. And he asked her for protection. She let him come into the tent. She gave him a mantle to cover himself with. He asked for a drink of water. She gave him a bottle of milk to drink. And made him think that he was in a safe, contented place. And then he tells her in verse 20, "Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. So he asked him to lie for her. But of course this was not Jael's intent at all. Jael did not want Sisera to get away. She was holding him here. And then she saw opportunity, as we read in verse 21. "Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died." So she put him to death. And she did it by taking a nail of the tent, or a stake that would be used for the tent, and she put it to his temple and drove it in with a hammer, so that he died. In chapter 5, verse 26, during the song of Deborah, this implies that she had cut his head off. It says she smote off his head. So there, she might have possibly even severed his head from the body. We don't know that for sure. But he died. So here was a man who was so strong and so powerful. He commanded a great army of 900 chariots. They had been oppressing Israel for 20 years now. And it just seemed that no one could overcome him. Yet whenever God's people got right with God, whenever they united behind the prophetess and judge Deborah, and she led them through divine and miraculous inspiration as to what to do, and God was now with them, they were able to overcome this man and his army. The man had fled. He went to the tent of a woman, and then the woman put him to death. This again illustrates to us how very temporary life is, how very tenuous it is. Regardless of the power that we have on this earth, or the great abilities that we have acquired, the great weapons of warfare, or whatever, when we are opposed to God, we have no friend. We have no one to help, actually. For the very one that Sisera turned to here for help turned out to be the one who took his life. This also reminds us of the things said in the 8th and 9th verses when Barak said unto Deborah, "If thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then will I not go." And actually, instead of this being a point of weakness on the part of Barak, it was really an act of faith, because Barak realized that in Deborah, the prophetess, is where the word of the Lord was. And she said, "I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So it looks like in the beginning that when he's going to sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, it's going to be Deborah that will get the credit. But he may very well be talking about Jael here, who took the life of Sisera, and this was denied Barak. Barak did not have the privilege and the honor of being the one to take the life of the enemy, Sisera. However, we're going to see that this did not seem to disturb Barak, because the prime goal and purpose of things here was that God's will be carried out, that the people be delivered, and this was accomplished. So in verse 22, "And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So Barak was pursuing him, and no doubt had he been allowed to have caught Sisera, he would have done away with him. Of course, this was the will of God. Not a man escaped, but there was not a man left because of this army of the Israelites. But here Sisera, the captain of the army, lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Verse 23, So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. Now, it was actually God who did this. God gets the honor, glory, and credit for it. God led the people, and without God, they certainly could not have even begun to have accomplished what they did. They'd been in subjection for some 20 years to this king now, and so consequently, it had to be God that helped them to break this bond. And we'd like to note that not only did God do this on that day, he subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, but we probably cannot read of anyone else after this being called a king of Canaan. Now that's how thoroughly this yoke was broken. That's how marked this defeat was of Jabin, that although the children of Israel had many oppressors after this, and they did many things wrong that in which they deserved to be oppressed, we don't read of any more king being called the king of Canaan. Verse 24, And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan until they destroyed Jabin king of Canaan. Just again, a little nutshell summary of what has happened. The children of Israel were the hand. They carried out the work. God made it all possible. God gets the glory and the honor for it. Without God, they could have done nothing, but yet the children of Israel had to do something. They had to employ their hand in this. And so he describes it as saying that the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan. And today, there is work for us to do. And our work is of such a nature that no one else can do it but us. Each person has his own individual work cut out to be done. He must use his hand, so to speak, to do it, working with God. And whenever we do work with God, then our hand will prosper and it will prevail. That's principle that's laid down here. It literally happened in this day, and it can also literally happen to us today in the type of work that God has for us. Now, we're not going to be routing the king of Canaan, of course, but we will be fighting against other enemies of the church, spiritual wickedness in high places, and it is a battle that we must engage in, a different kind of a battle, but nevertheless, it requires our work, our hand, coupled with the help of God. So we conclude the fourth chapter of Judges. Now we're ready to begin the fifth chapter.